Good morning. Welcome to the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners board briefing. Commissioner Moyer is excused. Audience members, I want to start by asking to please silence your electronic devices. For those presenting today, please turn your mic on when you begin speaking and off when you're completed your remarks. And for all presenters, please state your name for the record before speaking or responding to questions. So today we have a work session just to discuss as a board the supportive housing services discussions that are happening at Metro. We've had participation by our board members on this. We had a board work session last month where we were talking about all the different work that we were doing as a board and ran out of time to really delve into the discussion around supportive housing services. And since there's so much going on, I wanted to make sure that we had time. I want to appreciate Commissioner Brim Edwards and Commissioner Singleton for their participation in the work group that was convened by Metro Council President Lynn Peterson. So today we have a chance to discuss the recent work at that group and then any other updates it would be helpful to consider together, as well as I think getting a good sense of where folks are and as Metro is moving into discussions, how we want to engage in that as a board. So the topics that were covered during that work group, review and feedback of a new tri-county governance structure, a discussion around key performance indicators that would be adopted to help measure performance and progress. In addition to these, I think it's important for us to discuss how Multnomah County can make sure that during these conversations that we are talking about getting our fair share of revenue based on the need that we have here in Multnomah County. That's something that I've raised with different Metro councilors, and I think it's an important piece of us being able to really make the changes that we want to see in our community. We know that if Multnomah County doesn't succeed in reducing homelessness and building a system to support this community over the long haul, the rest of the region will also fail and the SHS measure may not be extended. And that's not a future any of us want, but when you look at some of the statistics and the data that was brought forth even by Metro's own auditor showing that we are getting about half the amount of Washington and Clackamas counties if you look at the per capita number of people experiencing homelessness in the county. It's something that we should all be paying attention to and be concerned about. We know that the SHS measure is not going to be going to the ballot in November of 26 as was originally being discussed. It sounds like Metro is currently looking at 2028. Not sure exactly when there, but that's kind of the context that I've been hearing about. So I want to make sure that we all have a chance to participate, but I want to turn it over to Commissioner Singleton and then Commissioners Brim Edwards to really share your leadership and your engagement on the work that's happened, and looking forward to our conversations as a board today. So with that, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Chair. I think I want to also appreciate the staff from both HRS and HN Homeless Services Department for all the support they provided through that work table. I think you covered a number of the highlights, and I know that commissioners made phone calls to Metro councilors a couple of months ago to talk about, one, some of the challenges we see with the proposed governance structure. And I think an explicit ask that we get to see the ordinance, that it's proactively shared as opposed to us trying to find it, to make sure that we have opportunity to give good feedback once they actually draft a governance ordinance. So definitely more to come there, and I think we'll continue to partner with Metro Council President Peterson, as well as I know that staff continue to meet regularly. So not just it seems like the relationships between staff have really shifted, and that's been good. People are rowing in the same direction in a way that I think maybe we weren't seeing 6 months ago. The other piece that came up in the president's work group was key performance indicators. And I think you all saw in my original SHS reform proposal, a number of key performance indicators that related to the idea of homelessness being rare, brief, and non-recurring. And they are very similar to what we see, if not exactly the same, to what we saw out of the Homeless Services Department and HRS for we have so many acronyms, for the Steering and Oversight Committee as part of the HRAP plan. So they're very similar KPIs, which to me is really important so that these things can feed into each other. We're not asking our departments and our providers to do multiple different things at the same time. We know that Metro is planning to hold some work sessions to discuss changes to the governance structure, but there were some additional pieces that were a part of that reform proposal that Metro has talked about regarding, for example, contracts and having outcome goals be the same, not just, Multnomah County has number-based outcome goals, but they're not necessarily the same as Clackamas County or Washington County, which is kind of frustrating for providers. And so that's a conversation that I think we'll see coming to fruition in the next couple of months. Additionally, things like compliance and really understanding what those components mean. So I think it's going to be critical for us to continue to engage with our Metro Council colleagues as they're having work sessions and having these discussions to ensure that there's some alignment. I know that Juan Carlos is now just back from leave, and so I expect that we'll see also some, he had some really interesting thoughts around a provider convening. And so I mentioned to him yesterday when we ran into each other that we should talk about that because we have a convening that's a part of our HRAP plan that is providers, is there potential to build that bigger and get everybody's needs met so that providers aren't being asked to do kind of multiple of these sessions. I think the other thing I would share is that reform proposal. I think you initially saw some of my thoughts on it. The Homeless Services Department has spent some time as well giving their input and feedback on that. So things from governance to KPIs to compliance to all the components that Metro has highlighted as needed reforms. So there's a lot more there. I keep talking to Metro about let's take what we're hearing here and build upon that. I think there's a lot of places that we can lead as Multnomah County, and I really appreciate the work that the department's doing to really step into that leadership space around SHS. So those were some of my kind of key takeaways from recent SHS conversations, but Commissioner Brehm-Edwards, you were also at that table.
Yeah, I don't have a lot to add. I really appreciate at the table Commissioner Singleton's leadership is really driving us to come up with a regional framework. I think from my sort of overriding sort of takeaway from the discussions we've had to date is there was initially a lot of push for if we just change the governance structure, somehow that will convince our local communities that they should re-up on the ballot measure and the SHS funding. And I do think as part of the discussions, a majority of the group came around to we really actually need to be able to show a real reduction in homelessness, have very specific goals around that as a way to demonstrate that we're actually making a reduction in homelessness versus we're just changing the governance structure and somehow that is accountability or that is a substitute for real results. So I felt that conversation I felt evolved over the time that we met. My other big takeaway from it, and I think this is something that we push for at the table, is this sort of change in governance or an addition of key performance indicators. Those things were going to be successful or be supports for a stronger, more sustainable regional framework if it underlying it was a housing strategy from Portland and from the city of Portland, the cities, and primarily the city of Portland and also Metro, and that we as a region could come up with all sorts of, more robust ways to provide homeless services, but at the end of the day, if there wasn't a housing strategy that, not just a strategy, but also an implemented strategy that we weren't going to actually be able to see a net reduction in homelessness in the region. And to me, that's something that we all need to continue to talk about. So is there's, I believe, accountability and a focus on the counties for implementation of providing homeless services that, at the end of the day, those jurisdictions that are accountable for housing, which would be the cities and metro and the state, that they're doing their piece so that people have a place to go, because we can have a robust shelter strategy and supportive services, but if there's not increased housing and places for people to go, that ultimately we're not going to be as successful in the larger goal of everyone of making sure that homelessness is rare, brief, and non-reoccurring.
Thank you all. That was a really helpful report out. And I appreciate the focus on housing, because I think that's one of the key, you know, pieces. And just looking at, just reading some of the reporting around, increases in sweeps. And there was something in Street Roots recently that I was reading, and, you know, and as we're growing and expanding shelter, that is only a Band-Aid, and that's only a temporary solution. And really, we have to be driving housing production. One of the concerns that I had, I think since the beginning of the discussion around, you know, SHS and changes to the measure, was about the housing piece and adding, you know, because originally housing, you know, adding dollars to, or using some of the dollars of the measure for housing was a part of the proposal, and the concern was always like, we're just not going to have enough dollars to sufficiently fund housing at the scale that we did, you know, with the previous measures for either metros or Portland's, which were really, you know, both very successful. So was there any, has there been any more conversation about that? Because I do think that, you know, if we're looking at 2028 for any, you know, updates or the renewal for the SHS, we have to be doing that in parallel with a housing proposal.
I think, you know, both City of Portland and Metro are aware that the housing bond resources are a different need. We also built way more at that 0 to 30% income, which is really what we need, particularly for folks who are on Social Security or, frankly, make a minimum wage. They're falling in this range of the lowest income. I understand that they neither entity had great polling on going back to the ballot for a bond measure. So I think part of it is, how are they telling the story about what was actually built and what was successful? And I think, to Commissioner Brim Edwards' point, how do we couple those and really tell the full story of the housing to homelessness, right? It's, I think there's awareness that that needs to happen. I don't think there's a good sense of when is the time to go to the ballot to get additional dollars for development. I do appreciate the idea that outside of bond projects, when we build, I'm gonna try to not get too wonky here, but when we build with low-income housing tax credits, there's tends to be a gap in financing. And so gap dollars, I think, make a lot of sense for SHS. It's a couple million on a project. Land banking, I think, makes a lot of sense. There's potential for acquisition that can be pulling market rate apartments into the affordable portfolio with a purchase. That's an option that I think is a lower cost option, but new development is not gonna be able to be done with the couple million dollars that sometimes might be floating around SHS. I think the other thing that I would say that I don't think is, I don't know if, it's over a little bit overly technical, but I also think there's a piece of what we have defined as population A in the SHS measure is more expansive than what is chronically homeless. And I think part of what our challenge becomes when we aren't getting the level of resource we need for the folks that we're serving, and we've heard some of like Pop A isn't a shared definition across counties, which I understand is not accurate. Everybody understands what Pop A is. I think the difference is that because it's more expansive, some folks might not need permanent supportive housing level of care, but because we've expanded this definition, they're being placed in permanent supportive housing. And I do think it's worth our time, because that's an expensive model, to really look at what is that definition? Should we come back to what chronic homelessness is and who permanent supportive housing is an evidence-based practice for? And not that we stop serving the other households, but they can use a lower level of service. They may need a lower level of service need than what PSH provides. And so that's the opportunity, I think, to talk about what do we actually need to meet our chronically homeless numbers and how do we get that resource based on what that POP A definition is. And that conversation is gonna be tricky, but I think we have to have it.
I mean, one of the purposes of doing this, in my understanding, is that really to help build up that that true regional system. And I think having shared definitions and understanding of what we're talking about, not just the contracting piece, which I think is important to make sure providers who are operating in multiple counties like know what to expect, especially for services being paid with SHS dollars. But the shared definitions is important because I think we know we have limited resources and we're going to have limited resources, you know, whether it's housing or whether it's even the service, the wraparound services, and making sure those are getting to the right people in the right way, especially for those that are the more challenging people to get and stay housed is going to be key. And then also to leverage our dollars to go further for those who don't need necessarily as much intensive work to make sure that we are, to your point earlier, Julia, like really leveraging those dollars to go to the folks that, as many folks as need it, so we can be seeing these material changes in the number of people experiencing homelessness.
I'm just curious how this conversation intersects with the steering committee, oversight committee with this, with the city, and then how they connect, because while the metro conversation is obviously a regional conversation, I think Multnomah County and the city of Portland are right in the center of it.
Yeah, I agree. And so there's a couple of pieces that I think are happening. One is I've with Commissioner Brynn Edwards, I don't know if I sent you all the materials, but I will, I apologize. I've been talking about how do we come together with some city councilors to talk about what we did in our work sessions around outreach and shelter so that people understand what the current state is and what a potential future state would be so that both of us have that information walking into the 27 budget conversation. I think something that lends to, because it's SHS dollars as well, I think there's opportunity to really look at how are we best providing shelter services, right? We talked about some are more expensive than others, the outcomes look different. How are we really thinking about that and creating a system? I think to me it also can relate to the deflection conversation we were having last week and how is that a part of the system and people flowing into services. And so to me, I think that table with some of the city councilors who are part of the Housing and Homelessness Committee at the City of Portland will go a long way for us to just get us to get shared definitions. I'd love to have role clarity. I think we have to say that we have two different roles and both are okay, but we don't need duplicative systems, and so how do we get to a shared understanding and shared space there? I think that goes a long way to helping the region understand how the city and county are working together. Helping us get on the same page means we can be on the same page at the metro table, which I think goes a long way. So that's been a missing link for me, is how do we pull in? The mayor's been involved, but how do we really help support our city councilors and getting involved in understanding the bigger picture of the system, not just what the city funds. So that's a next step to me.
And that is all, like, I support all of that, and that's needed to make sure that we have that shared understanding so we can advocate, I think, more strongly together for the needs of Portland and Multnomah County at the regional table. But I also, in my conversations that I've been having with Metro councilors and Metro staff, really saying, let's not completely reinvent the wheel when we've been doing good work in setting up both a governance structure and, you know, most recently, like the key performance indicators that we're tracking that we really feel are about making sure that we have the data and that we are tracking the data that is telling us the story that we need to know, so that we can see how we're doing in addressing addressing homelessness. And so, you know, I think that's part of it is also education of what we've been doing here to Metro. So making sure that they understand, like, we've been doing this, like, these are the reasons that we're doing this. And I think tied to that is the piece around what our updated data and our by name list is really showing us about the true number of people who are experiencing homelessness in Multnomah County, and then hopefully regionally as HMIS really goes regionally. Because I think in talking about, like, the goals that we're gonna set for around those key performance indicators, I think that conversation about, you know, we had the original set of goals that we're still working towards for the measure that was passed in 2020, but we also know that the situation looks so much different than it did in 2018 and 2019 and 2020, that, you know, like at the very beginning of 2020, that the measuring stick seems to change, although the structures that were put in place with the measure haven't. And so I think that's a question that I have for you both are, you know, based on the conversations that you had, you know, with this development of the key performance indicators, what did the discussion look like in terms of, like, the original goals that were part of the measure and where we want to go with the KPIs and goals around that?
Honestly, there wasn't discussion about the original KPIs other than, I think, to say this isn't getting us there, and there needs to be some updates to those. And so it really started from a kind of a vision, and there was a lot of debate about what that should be and whether homelessness being rare, brief, and non-recurring was the right goal. And I think that, you know, that's what we see nationally is really that goal. I don't think it's a campaign slogan, right? Like, we need to bifurcate these two conversations, and I think people were getting a little stuck in the boat having both of them at the same time. I do think that there was some push, you know, and this was something I said at the table. Clackamas County wanted to really look at different recovery. They have a recovery campus. And that may be something that's great and that they need, but it doesn't mean that every county needs to develop this. And the part that's missing is if you have openings in your recovery center, how do other counties access that for their folks? And that's the part of the regional piece that I think is missing, where it's a system across the region. I think the KPIs that I put forward and hearing from you all, you supported with the SHS conversation, they are very much in line with what we're seeing with the SOC and the Homeless Services Department. And I think, again, gear us towards that rare, brief, and non-recurring, right? There's goals around shelter. I think we have to talk about our unsheltered strategy isn't just shelter, right? We're doing outreach, we're doing inreach into day centers and other places. And so how do we start really talking about how we're addressing unsheltered homelessness in a way that's more expansive than shelter? I think there's the conversation that we had in our shelter work session of, depending on which shelter you get to, you might get housing support services or not, because we don't have the resource to fund every program exactly the same. So do those teams need to be mobile? I think that's some of part of our next conversation that, to me, goes to showing reform of the system, but also opportunities to talk with the other counties to say, like, hey, this model is working. How are we thinking about this again at a regional scale? I don't know where the providers are, but something I would want to know from them and what my experience was is, if I housed somebody in Washington County, it was actually a huge time suck for my staff to provide retention services there. Are there opportunities to look at better handoffs that if somebody is in Multnomah County but lives and wants to live and work in Washington County, how do we make sure they get supports instead of having our staff waste time driving for these home visits? I think those are some of the next steps of the conversation that I hope that the departments are able to have with the providers and then feed that up into the Metro discussion. I think the other piece is, thinking about the regional funds and those priorities was another part of what Metro raised. And I'm not sure what form those conversations would have, but I think that's where potentially we may say that's where we think they should focus on any sort of uses of the funds for housing. Maybe it's their regional funds. Do we think the regional funds should be used in a different way? So I think that's another part of the conversation that's yet to come that wasn't discussed thoroughly at the president's work group.
And is the president's work group, is that still happening or has it been dis?
No, that one, it ended, I feel like 2 months ago, but yeah.
Great. Yeah. And then is for us, are we planning on taking all the information that we're gathering today and then drafting a formal recommendation to Metro and even to the city of Portland? Is that one of the expected outcomes from our conversations moving forward between now and October, seeing that they're going to be diving into this, the conversation between this month and next month?
Ideally, it would be great for us to have a shared board letter that we can send to Metro and share with our counterparts at the city that talks about how we're approaching it and some of the things that we would like to see out of this. And I think also what we're doing here at the county to help push some of these similar things forward. So.
Okay. So I'm just going to maybe offer just a comment on the question about the original Metro goals. So having run lots of campaigns, it's really important what you tell voters, what you're gonna do and like doing it. And I also think that there's gonna be a need to be an additive component, because if you look at the goals, you could accomplish the goals and yet people would feel like actually things have gotten worse because it's more framed in a, here's the 5,000 or here's the 10,000 piece you're gonna do, but it actually is not necessarily a net reduction. And I think that, I mean, this is just my perspective, is that people are gonna need to see like the trend is heading in the right direction in order to support the longer term renewal of the funding measure. So I do think that needs to have a pretty robust discussion, and say not abandoning them, because I always think you should do what you tell your voters you're gonna do. And I also don't think it's a viable strategy to say, we accomplished what we said we were accomplished, and people are gonna look around and be like, well, actually, the numbers have gotten worse, even though you said you did what you're going to do. So I think there's gonna be some nimbleness needed in order to successfully move ahead with a broader long-term strategy. The other thing is, I was just curious, and this goes to the recovery and how each housing, how each county does something differently. There was this story this weekend in the paper, like spotlighting a success story of deflection and somebody in recovery. But it was interesting because it started in Clackamas County, but the individual ended up in housing in St. John's, which was like, okay, so this was a Clackamas County deflection, but Multnomah County ended up with providing housing. I'm not sure what all the details are. But just thinking about how we have those conversations, because people can point to Multnomah County not doing X, Y, and Z, we actually have produced recovery housing and shelter and pathways to housing. And so we obviously can't, Multnomah County can't do that for the entire region. So how is this being a sort of a shared strategy, or if we're actually going to be doing it, like, are those resources following versus you got those resources, but actually we're providing the longer term service? So to me, that's I don't know if anybody knows how that ended up, that particular story ended up that way, but to me it just called out the regionalism, but also the resources should follow the individual and we're providing it.
Yeah, it's the orienting, and I think we talked about this at the president's work group, was we should be orienting the system to the people. And the way it's been talked about is these are the pieces we think we need, and then it's flowing down to the person. And I think that's been the wrong orientation. And the resource following the person, if somebody qualifies for a local voucher in Clackamas County, it should be portable to wherever that person wants to live. And that piece, I know, is something that is being worked on, because that hasn't been traditionally doable. I'm not sure why. So I think it's been a bit of, where are the barriers and how do we start breaking those down bit by bit? And that's, I think, part of the, I mean, it seems like it's going to be a reform kind of lead up to any sort of campaign. What are the reforms that we need to make? And coming back to your question around the SOC, I think that's the similar conversation there. What are the things that we need to be targeting? Are there reforms and changes we need to make to the system? And how is that then oriented towards that bigger SHS conversation? But the portability, the resource following the person, is a huge missing piece of the current discussion. And I think that, you know, again, it's critical. I come back to that POP A definition, where I think it's critical that we talk about allocating dollars based on the actual chronic homelessness need. And that shifts the way that I think we would see resources flowing here, based on, at a minimum, the point in time counts. Every county's not doing a by name list. So I also think there's a lot of data and research and evaluation components that, to me, Metro could be leading, as opposed to each county trying to do their own. There's things we might want to do, but then what are the regional research questions that we have, and how can Metro step into that space, as opposed to, I think, instead of this independent review panel concept that they were floating around for governance.
And I would say one of the things I'm most excited about the conversations that are happening is the fact of, like, instead of having two different oversight bodies, like, having them be one, and really having that group have the responsibility both for tracking how we're doing along the KPIs and the goals we have around those, and talking about the regional investments that are needed to truly make this an effective measure and I don't know in that particular case, like, how it happened, but I will say that in all the conversations that I've had with providers, I think providers very much have that person-centered mentality, where they are, you know, if whether it's our teams or other teams, if the best place for that person is with their family, you know, in Gresham or in Hillsborough, they're going to do what they can to make sure that person is able to be there and be in that community, no matter where they might be engaging with services at the first point. And so, you know, I think that's a good thing. But I think that we do have a disconnect we don't truly have a regional system, and the resources aren't following the people and following the need.
I mean, in some ways, it reminds me of some of the conversations that happen among the school districts in the region, where the districts get the money by student, and then are very reluctant, if a student would be better served in a different district, to release the student, because, like, that's releasing the dollars. I mean, they're hard conversations, but I think that needs to happen if we're going to have a regional system. So the other curiosity I have, and this is, like, maybe something in the steering committee, but with the city of Portland bringing online, I think this week, another 400 shelter beds, has there been a discussion about, like, the married strategy of them then having an increase of housing at the other end, so that those individuals have a place to go?
So we really haven't had that conversation yet at the SOC, I would say, but I mean, we have been talking about that. I think that there are both some short-term and longer-term work that's happening in housing, like, one, trying to maximize the capacity that we have right now in terms of vacancies, and how do we get people into the right housing so people can be successfully stayed there. But that longer term of how do we, or maybe even it's, like, mid and long-term, like, some of that maybe turning market rate to affordable, like some of these ideas you were talking about, but then also just developing it, that really, there hasn't been a lot of deep conversation around that.
I would add, I think this comes back to the, how do we make our teams more flexible and mobile? When we had winter shelters and they were overnight only at the time, we did a ton of in-reach and housing placement out of those sites as outreach workers. And so I think there's opportunity there, but it's not just to serve the overnight only. I think that's part of the conversation for us to have is how many housing placement staff do we have connected to shelter? What are the opportunities to look at mobility and how can they serve multiple types of sites? And part of what I hope we talk about with the city council is we can't over-resource one over the other, right? I think we fell into that trap a little bit with the first task sites where there was a lot of housing placement resource, lots of good outcomes, but it meant other parts of the system didn't have that resource and didn't have as many housing placement outcomes. And so to me, that's part of our decision making is how are we creating a system where it doesn't matter what site you get into, you have opportunity without starving other parts of the system.
Is the county supporting the two new sites that the mayor's opening with any sort of placement services or?
Well, so I think it has been a recent conversation that has just come up where the city is open to having resources at the shelters. The first proposal was just about having shelter and not having any kind of services or placement or anything.
Like in and out early in the morning.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that there have been some recent conversations where they've expressed more interest. I'm still trying to get a clear picture of what people are envisioning that looks like and how that ties to the day shelters and what should and will be available at those day shelters, because that's also I think that's also an opportunity for folks. So I think there's I think those conversations are still very preliminary. I will say Jillian, I think, brought this up months ago about like what is this going to look like, and it sounds like they're finally taking a little bit of a route in looking at those potentials. But I do think that, again, engaging in those conversations, it is important to figure out like we have to be providing those things across the system. So if it doesn't make sense to have, you know, teams directly, you know, based in a certain place every single day, then how do we maximize our resources to make sure that we are providing providing, you know, referrals and placement and case management and all of those things in a way that we are throughout everyone, no matter where they're staying.
My assumption is everyone going into the new shelters would go into the HMIS system. Is that correct?
Yes.
So, I mean, so we put, pardon?
So Anna is in my line of sight, and she was like, yes, they are going to be.
Because that should give us a lot more data. And sometimes data, it's like, uncovers things that are, like, revealed truths and important things that we should know, and just in terms of how to deploy the resources. So if we start seeing trends from all of a sudden uptick of 400 people having shelter and they're completely stuck, or that they're actually getting a path or whatever, like a particular service is providing them a path to housing or a path out of the shelter system, that may be. That probably would be good data for us to be looking at, just in terms of how resources are going to be deployed.
And I think it opens opportunity for, as there's understanding of the case conferencing that's happening now, what are the opportunities to expand that? I don't want to overemphasize it, but it happens so much in my career in doing direct service, but finding somebody is so challenging. And if that camp is swept or they lose that shelter bed, and so just even having them in HMIS and being able to say like, oh, hey, Shannon's actually their outreach worker. She's been working with them. Let's make that connection. Like that piece, I think, will be really powerful if we can figure out how to make sure that we have the appropriate releases in place and people over time. We can expand that case conferencing type of model and make sure that folks know. Same conversation we were having about the jail, right? How do we, if your person's in there and you can't get access to them, it can be hard. And so how do we make those better connections so people know where the folks that they're trying to house are at?
And I think the other piece then is triaging what people actually need and what level of service and how we can make sure we're using the resources in the system most effectively to help move people into the most stable, most permanent environment that they can be in for housing. Yeah. So, all right. I know we had some notes and slides for reference. It doesn't sound like we needed to get into them today. Was there, did you want to show anything, Commissioner?
I think I will share out, if we didn't, the one pager. It's just a bit of the timeline. So you can see kind of what Metro is doing, what's HRAP, what's maybe some of the city county stuff for the next couple of months. So I'll send that out to everybody. And then I think additionally, we'll keep working on some of the reform discussions. And I think as we hear more from Metro, just keep doing updates in our meetings. But the materials today, I think, was background. I can reshare that reform proposal that now has feedback from the department, just so we all can be on the same page.
That sounds great. Thank you so much for that. All right, anything else? Any last comments? So I think that we'll get the materials out. We'll continue to have the conversations. I think figuring out the best way that our entire board can lean into the conversation that's happening with Metro, and then making sure that we're continuing to bring our counterparts at the city into these conversations.
Yeah.
All right.
I guess my just final thought would be is, and this is just an overarching sort of like, if the goal of the regional conversations and discussion and planning is to have a renewal of the SHS funding, is I think that all that it's built upon Multnomah County actually successfully getting the trend line changed on homelessness, because I think it would be very hard regionally to have a conversation that like renew something for several decades when there hasn't yet been a change in the trajectory locally. Well, here in Multnomah County. And I think there'll be conversations in Washington and Clackamas County, but really I think the data and what's happening here in Multnomah County is gonna drive whether the measure can be renewed or not.
I mean, I think that's both from the kind of performance and outcome standpoint and from just the, like, if you look at how the measure passed last time, it was because a majority of the voters in Multnomah County helped carry some of the weight for, you know, that where it didn't pass, where the majority were no votes in other counties. And so just even from a practical standpoint, like, we have to show change here if we want to have a renewal, you know, in 2028. And there has to be a change in the resources. Like, we have to really drive that conversation of resources following need, because we have a greater need here in Multnomah County, and we all know it. Yeah.
And there's the reality that we are in a position to say, again, like we talked about, we build a patchwork. Now we can take a minute to step back as a county and a city and say, okay, what does an actual shelter system look like? What does our outreach system look like? How are these teams and these resources working together? And to me, that goes a long way to showing that I think it's accountability that, okay, we haven't quite figured it out. Let's take some time to look at this and look at other options and look at potential reforms. But it also is an opportunity to bring along a brand new city council, right, who has not been engaged in this work. And that is where I think there's also a lot of potential for new insights, new ideas that we just haven't had real opportunity to tap into yet. But I think the us making reforms and changes goes a long way to show that we're not just saying the status quo is fine. We're saying, hey, we know that there's things that need to shift, and we're all willing to step into that and show the voters that Multnomah County is here to actually solve the problem. I will always push back on the concept that the goal should be renewal of the measure. I think the goal should be to create a system that actually functions for the human beings. And I know that's not what your goal was, but that's where I think we were pushing on at the Metro table to say, it's really critical that we talk about the human beings, and if the ultimate end result is we can renew this measure because we're doing good work and human beings' homelessness is being ended, that's the path to me.
Yeah, and that goes back to my very first comment, is like the results, that we're actually getting results that are improving things for individuals who live in this community, not a... We've designed this, you know, new accountability and governance structure, because that is not what people are wanting the money to go to. They want it to actually be solving the problem and getting better results. So,
Well, I just want to appreciate you both being at the table and really pushing for that. Like, it's not a change in governance isn't the solution, and it isn't about just the structure. That is one thing that is needed, but it's really about the system itself and how it's working. And so, the fact that I think it's the right decision to be taking this pause and being able to have time to do all of that work at the regional level, because all of that's going to come together. So thank you guys for the time and the attention that you've given to this, and I appreciate that we're going to be having more conversations here and with our partners around this issue. All right, thank you. So thanks everyone for the work session today, and our next meeting is our regular board meeting on Thursday, September 4th at 9:30 a.m. We are going to have a proclamation signing ceremony tomorrow, September 3rd, that will be here in the boardroom from noon to 1 p.m. We'll have a quorum of Multnomah County Board of Commissioners attending that, and we hope people can tune in virtually or join us here in the boardroom for that. There being no further business, we are adjourned.